the verses that were up on the screen at the end of the video. So Psalm 78. And I'm going to just mention them at the end, if that's okay. But while you're turning there, Psalm 78, I just want to thank you folks for your prayers and your support for the work in Liberia. As you heard, I've been out there nearly 10 years, and that is hard to believe. But I know I don't look a day older, right? But it has gone fast. And there have been challenges during that time. I was thinking when I came home, I had to isolate post-travel, of course. And so I was catching up in some reading during that point when I was isolating for those 10 days. And I was rereading the biography of a missionary, a young man called William Borden. And I had read this biography a number of years ago, but I got my parents to drop off a bunch of books for me. And this was one of them. And so I was rereading it. He was a man who was called to go out to the Muslims in China. And he was preparing for that. He was actually in language training in Cairo when he died at the age of 25. This happened around 1900 or so. But in this biography, there was a little poem, and I was reading it, and it really struck me on this subject of prayer and God's people praying for each other. And I just want to read a couple verses from it to you tonight, as I thank you for praying for me. And the poem says, "The weary ones had rest, the sad had joy that day and wondered how. A plowman singing at his work had prayed, Lord, bless them now. Away in foreign lands, they wondered how their simple word had power. At home, the gleaners, two or three, had met to pray an hour. Yes, we are always wondering how, because we do not see someone, unknown perhaps and far away, on bended knee." And that really struck me that when I was out there in Liberia, and, you know, there were good days and bad days, as we might say, there were challenges, there were blessings, there were encouragements, there were hard times, but when I was going through all of those different things or circumstances or challenges or blessings, I don't remember ever thinking, to my shame probably, that someone might have been just praying for me when the Lord did that for me, or when the Lord helped me with that, or when the Lord gave me that word, or help me to keep quiet in that situation, not say anything. Perhaps someone was praying for me just at that time. And I don't know about you. Perhaps you've been praying for me. Perhaps the Lord has laid me in your heart at a specific time, and you have been sensitive and obedient, and you've prayed for me at that point. Maybe you didn't think, well, maybe Joanne needed help right then. And I prayed, and the Lord answered that prayer. And, you know, I might never know your situation, the times you pray for me. You might have prayed and yet never known the answer, what the answer was, or what the need even was. But the Lord knew both ends. The Lord knows. And that is the God that we serve. He's the God who knows all of his people and all of our needs and all of our circumstances at any given moment, wherever we are in this world. And I just say all that to thank you for praying, if you have been, and to encourage and plead with you to continue to pray for me. The Bible tells us that the Lord works in answer to the prayers of his people. And so I do believe that all the times that he has helped and provided, even during this last term, just thinking of these last few years, it has been because, in a very big way, it has been because people at home have been praying for me. And so I thank you for that. And I also want to thank you for your financial support, your practical support, because, again, that is what keeps me out on the field in a practical way. There have been perhaps some of you who have been supporting me ever since I went out, and so I do want to thank you for that faithful giving, and whether it's covenant support every month or regularly that way, or meetings like this, or whatever way it might be. As you heard, the work in Liberia is under the North American Mission Board, and so they cover a lot of the running costs and perhaps projects like the school project or the radio station, but my personal support comes from the home churches here in Northern Ireland. I was explaining this to the children before I left, because I was telling them one day in Bible club that I was leaving to come here for a number of months, and they were asking, as they usually do, why do you have to leave again? And I was explaining that I have to go home and give reports, and I was saying to them, you know, that's a biblical model, because remember, Paul did that when he went home regularly went back to the church in Antioch and gave reports. And I was saying to the children, you know, when you come here for teaching, whether it's a Sunday or for reading or music or Bible club or whatever, I said, you know, I don't make you pay me money when you come for your teaching, right? It's free teaching. And they said, well, that's true. And I said, well, how do you think I eat? Because in Liberia, getting money every day is very much equated to eating that day. If you don't work or get, you know, earn some money some way, in general, for an adult certainly, you don't eat that day. And so this is the way they think of it. And so I said, well, you know, if I'm here all day teaching you and you don't pay me money for that teaching, then how do you think I eat? And so they said, I don't know. And of course, they all laugh at the thought of a white person eating anyway, because I don't know how they think we survive. But when I'm eating, they're all watching me. Is she really putting food inside her body? And how does that work? And anyway, so they're kind of laughing at that idea. But they said, yeah, we don't pay you. It's free. And so I said, well, the reason I can do that is because somebody else is sending me money every day to eat. And so they understood that, and they ended the conversation by saying, well, please tell those people thank you. So that's a message from the kids there. Thank you for that support and for sending me out there and keeping me out in the field in Liberia. I just want to leave a few prayer requests with you, things that you have already been informed of on the video. But just to highlight a couple of things, Mr. DiCanio, as you can maybe imagine, has a very heavy workload all the time. He is in charge of the mission under the mission board. He is in charge of all the different aspects of it. Of course, he preaches regularly and teaches and then runs the radio station. He doesn't have to be in the station 24 hours a day, but he does have to stay in there usually 2 to 4 hours each day in order to load the programs in for the next 24 hours. And so there's that part of the work. But at the moment, he also is trying to keep on top of that building project that's going on. And so I'd ask you specifically to pray for that, that the Lord will help him and give him strength. He doesn't have control because it's a rented property. The landlord is the one who's in charge of the building and supposed to be doing it. But Mr. DiCanio is trying to keep involved as much as possible and perhaps put in a word now and again as to how things should be straight and done decently and all of that. So just keep him in prayer for that. He is spending quite a bit of time on that also. And do also pray for the children's work while I'm gone. There is a man called Nathan who's been in the work actually before I got out there. He was already working with children from the church there in Painesville. And so he is in charge of the children's work while I'm gone. Pray that the children will keep coming, that they will not get discouraged. Not only is one of their teachers away at the moment, but also because of the building project, the church has been knocked on already. And so the kids, I believe, are meeting in the bookstore. At least they were when I left. The believers, that the congregation is meeting outside on a Sunday. Thankfully, the rainy season has finished for now. So just pray that with all those changes, the children will not get discouraged, that they will keep coming, and that the Lord will continue to work in their hearts, that he will save more of those kids. Pray for the bookstore. It wasn't mentioned in the video because we didn't have time to cover everything, but it really has been a hub of the work for many years. It was started by George McConnell, one of the elders from Kilkeel, back in 2007, I suppose, 2008. And it, as well as selling books and Bibles, it is also a place where people can come and they can just read and study there, even if they don't have the money to buy something. They can just use the material. They're free to do that. It's also a contact center. People will come, radio listeners will come, and they will pass by the bookstore and speak to the guys who work there and just say how much they're enjoying the radio station. Some of them, when there's literature advertised in the station, they will come to the bookstore to pick that up. And it's been a contact point. It's also our headquarters, our legal headquarters for the NGO, which we have to have, according to Liberian law. And so do pray for the bookstore, that the Lord will keep it going, even though the economy is not good, that we'll be able to keep running it. The radio station, of course, has been a really big encouragement, as you've heard, but just two specific requests regarding the station. One, if you could pray that we could get our permanent license from the main governing body in the country. For the radio station, we have to have 6 different permits from different organizations and different agencies. Government agencies. We have 5 of them, and the 6th one, we have a temporary license. And so that is something that we have been renewing every year. We've been paying for it every year. We're in compliance with everything that we know about. They have come out from that agency. They've inspected the property and the radio tower and the station itself, and they say everything looks good. They even said, we wish all the other stations were in compliance as much as you are, but they still haven't given us that permanent permit. That permanent license yet. So if you could pray that we would get that, we would just like to have that piece of paper to just to show that we have that permanent license and just if you could make that a matter of prayer. And then also regarding the radio station, if you could pray that we could keep broadcasting 24 hours a day, because that really makes the station unique among many of the radio stations in Monrovia, in that area. Because most stations, ours included, they run on a generator, and of course you have to buy fuel for the generator. And so a lot of stations will close down during the night, those early hours of the morning, they will close down in order to save fuel and save money. Because of the funding we've received up to this point from God's people in different places, we've been able to keep going right through the night. And that means that we've got a bigger audience, we've got more people listening at that point who might otherwise listen to a different station. And I would surprise you how many people listen in the middle of the night. I'm surprised. Different people have said, even just, you might say, random people, not people from the church, but others just who meet us on the road and they or meet us somewhere else, and they say, yeah, I listen in the middle of the night. Thank you for running through the night. Maybe 2 years ago, someone drove into the wall of our mission compound accidentally, drove his car into the wall, and the police came out to do an accident report. And when they saw the radio tower inside that wall on the compound and realized this was 92.5, they got really excited. And they said, this is our station. This is the station we've been listening to every night when we're doing our patrol. And so they were excited that they had found out where it was now. And so that was just encouraging to hear, in a sense, randomly, that these people, these policemen, had come and they had been listening to the station. Another man I met one day when I was getting a tire changed on the Land Cruiser. And I had just gone to a random mechanic on the side of the road, and this passerby stopped. He saw the decal for the radio station on the side of the car, and he said, oh, yes, 92.5. I listen every night up to 2 a.m. And he said, I stay up to protect my family. And a lot of men will do that. They'll stay up and guard their homes at night because there's a lot of armed robbery that happens in the middle of the night. And so he said, I listen every night to 2 a.m. I listen to the station. It keeps me awake, really enjoy it. And I said, well, what happens at 2 a.m.? And he said, well, I go to bed then. I go to sleep. And I said, well, don't the robbers come at 2 then? And he said, no, because I leave the station playing. I turn the volume up, and they think someone's still awake. So I said to him, well, you should pay us something because we're providing free security for you. And he said, no, you should pay me something because I'm providing free advertising for you. So we went back and forth a little bit. But again, it was encouraging to hear another person who's listening, and even listening right through the night or in the middle of the night. So do pray that we can keep broadcasting 24/7. Pray for the church, for the young people, as you've heard mentioned. We had three young men baptized this past summer, and it was really encouraging to hear their testimonies and how the Lord had saved them. The Lord had dealt with them in different ways. I guess I could say that they all come from different backgrounds. One young man who came from a very very unchurched and ungodly background, was on the streets for a while, and then got to hear our station somehow, I'm not quite sure how, but he testified that he was saved. The Lord had been speaking to him, and then he was saved during listening to a sermon of Dr. Kearns's on our station, and that's been a great encouragement to hear that. He's been coming to the church now for a couple of years. And then another young man was raised in a Roman Catholic home and went to a Roman Catholic school, and then he started coming to the Vacation Bible School. The first year I was out there in 2012, he was around 12 or 13 at that point, 12 or 13 years old. And he tells us now that he came that first year for three reasons. You could say they're all the wrong reasons to come, but he says he came because there were white people there. He was told this. There were white people there. We had air conditioning, and we gave out biscuits. And so that's why he came. But he kept coming back every summer. We didn't see him the rest of the year, but every summer he would show up again. And the Lord dealt with him. He testifies now in 2017 and in 2019, those 2 years, from the lessons in VBS. And he remembered them, and he was thinking over them. And the Lord saved him sometime in there, in those few years. And he has now started coming to the church regularly and, again, got baptized this summer. And, again, it's a really big encouragement to hear testimonies like that. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days, and that has been an encouragement. And then lastly, our last prayer request is for this school project, school pilot project. You've heard a lot about it already. Just pray that the Lord will bring everything together, if it is his will, for this start in September, if that's his will, next September. I will be here, Lord willing, doing meetings up until March, mid-March next year, And then the plan is to go back probably early April and see where everything is at that point. The building project is going on at the moment. And of course, we will have to find teachers and all of this. So just pray that the Lord will give me strength. And as I said in the video, at the moment, it looks like I'm the principal and the teacher and the nurse and I don't know what else. But we will need some other help, of course. And so we will be looking to hire some Liberian teachers. We will have to train them. And so just pray that the Lord will meet all of those needs. These verses in Psalm 78 have been in my heart a lot regarding the school, but even just regarding the work among the children in general. The first time I remember reading these verses or noticing this passage, I suppose, in Psalm 78 was back around the time when I went into Bible college. And the first verse that I really remember noticing was verse 9, which says, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle." And I remember thinking that is a really sad verse, that these people who were equipped and they were trained and they came from a good heritage, they were from the nation of Israel, from one of the main tribes, and yet when the challenge came, when the day of battle came, they turned back, they failed. And I remember thinking at that point, as I was entering into Bible college to be trained and equipped, you might say, and of course I already had many blessings in my early life and being taught the word of God, being from a Christian home, I remember thinking, I do not want to fail on the day of battle. And that has been challenging me ever since. But then more recently, I've thought about the verses that come before verse 9. And verse 9 really is an example of a generation that fails. And the verses before it talk a lot about this idea of generations. And there are a lot of generations in view. If you look in verse 3, it says, "which we have heard and known." And it's talking about God's word here. God's word, the works that he has done in the past, knowing the history of whether it's your country or just the history, God's history in general throughout the Bible times and so on, all the works of God in the past, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. And so you've got a generation speaking there. We could say that's us, whatever generation you're in. I know there's different generations in this room, but just if you think, for each one of us, that is our generation. I'm sure most of us have some kind of heritage. Perhaps our parents have taught us something at least, and some of us, perhaps our parents have taught us an awful lot. And so our fathers have told us, so there's the generation before us that have taught us. We are the current generation. And then the psalmist goes on to talk about the children, the next generation. In verse 6, he also talks about the children who aren't even born yet, the children which should be born. And then he goes on to the next generation who should arise and declare them to their children. And so the psalmist is really looking with a very long view here, thinking ahead. And I was struck by that what I do in my generation with what I have been given, with what I have been taught, it's not just going to affect the children that I'm teaching right now in Liberia, the ones I see in front of me each week, or the ones you teach here in the children's meeting that just finished, or whatever sphere any of us might be in. What we do with what we have been given is not just going to affect these kids in front of us now. It's going to affect generations to come, because God's pattern is for parents to teach their children, and then they teach their children, and they teach their children. And I was just thinking, if a generation fails, then that pattern is broken. And I've been thinking this about Liberia. Liberia, with the Civil War that went on for 14 years, ended in 2003. A lot of times people talk about a lost generation there, a generation that didn't have parents, a lot of orphans, children that were not educated. Now they're growing up, of course, and the next generation is already here. And so in a sense, there's a lost generation there. But we are in a generation now, we are in a day of battle, and there is a battle going on for our children. Whether it's here in the homeland, you might say, or in Liberia, there is a battle going on, and it might take a different look in different countries. The pet sins here are not perhaps the pet sins in Liberia. The agenda here might not be the agenda of wicked people in Liberia, but we're all in a day of battle for our kids. And so what it says in verse 4, the psalmist makes a pledge, you could say. He says, "We will not hide them." God's word, God's works. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." And that is my prayer. That's in the negative, we will not hide them. But the positive would be, we will teach them. We will show them, we will reveal them to the next generation. And so I'd ask you to join with me in that pledge and join with the psalmist here. And whether you join with me by praying for me. Of course, many of you perhaps are involved in teaching children yourself, but I think we can all make this promise before God, realizing we are in a day of battle, there is a battle on, and saying before the Lord, we don't want to fail, we don't want to turn back in the day of battle, because if we don't take the positive here, if we don't teach the next generation, then we are failing. We are hiding them. We might just think, well, we're just not going to do anything. We're just going to be neutral. We can't be neutral. If we're neutral, if we don't do anything, then the other side is certainly going to be doing something. The devil is behind whatever agenda there is, whatever the pet sin of a particular society is, the devil is behind it. The answer in that war is always God's word. And so I'd ask you to join me in this pledge, this promise that we will not hide these things. We will not hide God's word from this generation that's coming up, and from the generations then in the future. And the goal of all of it is there in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. And that is our goal, that we would see children rising up who know God, who know God's works from the past, who know his word, and who set their hope in God. The Lord deals with their hearts, that they are saved, and that they live their lives to the glory of God, and then pass that on in the future to the next generation. So thank you for listening, and trust the Lord will bless you.